Okay, we're going to be in our Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 3 tonight. First Samuel chapter 3 is where we're going to be studying tonight as we continue our journeys of faith. Tonight we're going to study the journey to Shiloh. To some people, serving God has become something that is added to their day-to-day life. Like serving God, that's just something added to their life. But for the Christian, serving God should be more than that. Serving God should be the overarching theme of everything that we do in our lives. Every task that we do in our lives should be covered by the fact that we belong to Jesus and we're living for Him. In the scripture, we learn about Samuel. In one of the greatest accounts, I think, in all of the Bible, Samuel and the account of Hannah and her prayer to have a son. Now, most of you remember that Hannah was a woman who was barren. She had not been able to have a child, and Elkanah loved her more than he loved his second wife, Peninnah, but Hannah was consistently distressed because she couldn't have a child. And you'll remember how she went to the tabernacle at Shiloh, that's where the tabernacle was in those days, and she went there and she wept sore, and she prayed that God would give her a child. As a matter of fact, she promised God that if God would give her a son, then she would give that son back to God in service. You remember that she was so upset that while she was there praying that Eli, the priest, thought that she was drunk. She was so upset, so vexed, so distressed, so torn up about the fact that she couldn't have a child. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, the Word of God says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she prayed this prayer, she vowed this vow, and when God gave Hannah a son, she kept her promise. Samuel was born, and she gave Samuel to serve the Lord in the tabernacle. Hannah surrendered to the will of God. Now, all through his life, Samuel demonstrated great surrender himself. After having the example of his mother surrendering to God, surrendering him to God, he took that up, that mantle on himself, and he gave his life in complete surrender to God. You know, the reality is for the child of God, every part of our being ought to be surrendered to the service of God. We ought to use our tongue, our mouth, to praise God. Psalm 34:13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. We need to keep our tongue in the right things, worshiping God and not speaking evil. We ought to use our hands to serve God. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Our feet should do what's right, not walking in iniquity, but walking in righteousness. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. But God calls us to walk, to go in the right paths. We ought to use our eyes to be in awe and wonder at God's creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19:1. We ought to be careful what our eyes see. You know, I'm always amazed at how right those songs were we sang when we were little. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands. Be careful, little feet. All those things are so true. Our ears should be in tune to God. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, the reality is God's given us these members, our ears, our eyes, our hands, our mouth. He's given us these things, our hands and our feet. He's given them to us, and we can use them for ourselves. We can use them for sin, or we can use them in service to God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 really sums it all up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every part of our life surrendered to the one who gave everything for us. It really is that simple. So notice with me as we consider Samuel this evening, first of all, the calling of Samuel. The calling of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Here am I. Let's pray together before we go any further. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to study your word tonight. And Lord, as you spoke to Samuel, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight through your word and through your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, that we would have a ready heart to obey. Lord, just give us a resolve, a willingness to be faithful to you, to surrender every part of our being to you. And Lord, where we fail you, I pray you'll forgive. Give us grace and help and mercy. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The child Samuel ministered. He served the Lord before Eli in the tabernacle. And when it was time to go to bed, before the lamp went out in the temple where the ark was, Samuel lay down to sleep, and the Lord called to Samuel. The hearing of Samuel, while Samuel was laying down to sleep, he heard the voice of the Lord calling, but he didn't know the Lord yet. He didn't understand. He'd never had God speak to him in that way before, so he thought it was Eli. So he got up and ran in there, and we read in 1 Samuel 3:5, and he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou calledst me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down again. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went, lay down in his place. Now he didn't know the Lord. He hadn't heard from the Lord before. Eli was not a great priest. He wasn't a great man of God, but he did hear from God. And he knew eventually, he picked up on it. He figured it out, that it was the Lord speaking to Samuel. And we go on to verse 10, and it says, "The Lord came and stood and called at, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" You know, I believe that God is always, always reaching out to us today. God is working in our lives. He's working in our circumstances. He's speaking to us through his word. He speaks to us through our circumstances, and we ought to be ready to listen. Now, you've heard before about the man who his house got caught in the flash flood. He got up on top of his house and he prayed, "God, please, please save me." And so pretty soon a guy in a boat came by and he said, "Get in the boat." And the man said, "No, I don't need a boat. God's going to take care of me." A little while later, the flood got so bad, they had the National Guard out and the helicopter came, and they tried to get him to get into the helicopter, and he wouldn't get in. He said, "No, the Lord is going to save me." Well, they left. They couldn't wait any longer, and the man drowned, and he died. When he came before the Lord, he said, "Lord, I prayed that you would save me, and you didn't save me." He said, "Son, I sent a boat and a helicopter." Isn't that the way we are sometimes? Listen, we're looking, I don't know what it is we're looking for. We're looking for bright lights. We're looking for angels. We're looking for something. But God is working in our circumstances all the time. God works through other people in our lives. Why doesn't God speak to me? So many people say today. I've met a lot of people who've been turned away from God, turned away from church, and they say, you know, I prayed and God didn't answer. And the reality is, so many times God is speaking to us, but we're not listening. Amen. Now, primarily, God is going to speak to you today, not through an audible voice like Samuel heard, and he's not going to come stand at the foot of your bed and talk to you, but he is going to speak to you through his word and through the conviction of his Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how God speaks to us today. Listen, God didn't inspire the word of God. He didn't give this God-breathed book and preserve it throughout the ages for us to ignore. God speaks to us through his word. And when you read his word and you meditate on his word and you study his word and you listen to his word preached, God's going to speak to you through his word. Samuel was called by God and he heard. And because he heard God and was obedient to God, it brought about a holiness in his life. D.L. Moody said this one time, "A holy life will make the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns, they just shine." Isn't that good? God wants us to shine. He wants us to shine brightly. He wants us to shine cleanly. You got to keep the glass clean on that lighthouse for it to be effective, but we're to shine. Now remember, Eli was the same high priest who had blessed Elkanah and Hannah when she prayed for a son. He said, "What are you doing up here drunk?" She said, "I'm not drunk, I'm broken in my spirit." And he blessed her. And this is the same Eli that was there that Samuel was serving under. Now, he served God for a long time, but he allowed his sons to bring wickedness into the house of the Lord. Eli knew about the wickedness of his sons, but he did nothing about their sin. So God was going to bring judgment on Eli. Eli ignored their sin. He allowed them to display it in the very tabernacle. God condemned him. And interestingly enough, God would make this pronouncement of judgment on Eli through Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, down at verse 12. "In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." God's judgment was going to be sure. God's judgment was going to be swift. And young Samuel got this message from God for Eli. Are you with me? Here he is. He's the servant. He's the one that's ministering to the Lord under Eli. He's the one that when Eli calls, he gets up in the middle of the night and runs in there and says, "What do you need?" You with me? When Eli says, "I didn't say anything, go back to bed," he goes back to bed. He hears it again. He jumps up and runs in there again. I mean, look at the heart of him. I mean, how many of you guys would have been frustrated after the first time? Like, I ain't getting back up and going in there again. He's senile. He doesn't even know he's hollering at me. Right? I mean, that's the attitude that we would have, but Samuel was humble. Samuel had a heart to serve. Samuel was a willing servant of the Lord. And I want you to get this. God made a proclamation against Eli. Samuel had been faithful. God called Samuel to serve. It is important for us to be faithful and to have purity in our lives. Eli wasn't willing to take a stand against sin, but we're going to learn that Samuel was willing to. He was a vessel meet for the master's use. 2 Timothy 2:20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." Now, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in the message, and I just want to remind you that the vessels unto honor, those are your good dishes. Those are the things you eat out of. The vessels to dishonor, those are like the chamber pots. Those are the things that have gross uses. Everybody with me? Right? You don't mix those things together. And if you'll study the verses ahead of this in 2 Timothy 2, you'll find out that it really has a lot to do with the influences in your life. You need to be careful who your friends are. You need to be careful what voices you're listening to. Now that has to do with the people that you have in your life. We see that very clearly with young people. Who your friends are when you're growing up will have a tremendous impact on your life.
Most of the stupid things that I've done in my life, I did not do alone. Anybody else with me? Yeah. Yeah. When we make big mistakes, when we do things we shouldn't do, we often do it with other people. Right? So we better be careful who our influences are. As you get older, that gets a little bit easier, but it still has an impact on your life. Your friends that you listen to will have an impact on the way that you think. The voices you listen to, the media that you listen to, the news that you listen to today will have an impact on the way you think and the way you act. So we need to be careful. We need to purge ourselves from ungodly influences. What does that mean? Well, if you've got ungodly friends, you need to get them out of your life. If you've been listening to ungodly voices, you need to get those out of your life. Eli wasn't willing to take a stand and purge the tabernacle from his ungodly sons. But Samuel was willing to stand against sin and to keep himself pure. That's not easy to do. It's not easy all the time to take a stand for what's right. It's not easy to stand up and say what's right and do what's right, especially when people that are close to you, it puts you at odds with them. But I would rather stand with the Lord alone than have millions on my side that are against the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. 1 Samuel 3:17 says, and he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. When Samuel got the message from God that judgment was coming to Eli, he was a little bit afraid to tell him the bad news, which would be understandable, right? I said, God's given the judgment. I don't want to be the one to tell you. He was afraid of how Eli would act, but notice what Eli said. God do so to thee and more also if you hide anything from me. What did he say? Well, whatever judgment God said that's going to come to me, don't you hide a word of it. If you do, I pray God will curse you with whatever he said is going to happen to me and worse. Well, Samuel decided it'd be best to go ahead and say what God said. And this is one of the greatest things that you're going to read in Scripture about Samuel. Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him, and said, it is the Lord. And he said, Eli said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And look at this. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. When a message from God came to Samuel, he gave the whole message out. He didn't leave anything behind. And this statement is a statement of all the rest of his life. We have a tendency to try to soften the blow. We have a tendency to try to sugarcoat things. We have a tendency to try to tiptoe around the truth sometimes. Now listen to me. We ought to always speak the truth in love. But it doesn't do anybody any good if we don't speak the whole truth. Right? If you go to the doctor and he finds some bad test results, you don't want him to hold that from you. You don't want him to withhold the truth. It may not be easy to hear. It's certainly not easy for him to say. But you need to know the full diagnosis. You need to know the whole story. And how much more important that is that in spiritual matters? Is it, what good does it do if we tell somebody that God loves them, but we don't tell them that they face the wrath of God if they don't repent and trust Jesus? Amen. It's true. God does love you. It's also true that if you die without Christ, you'll spend eternity in a lake of fire. People need to know the whole truth. And Samuel didn't let anything fall to the ground. Samuel stood for God all the time. Man, his faithfulness, he's one of the most amazing men in Scripture. He stood for God when the people obeyed and did what God wanted them to do. He stood for God. When the people disobeyed and rebelled against God, he stood for God. It just didn't matter. He was steadfast. He was sure. He was grounded in his faith. And where everybody else was tossed to and fro and messed up and in chaos, he was not. He was steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Don't be moved away from the work of the Lord. Would any of you agree with me that just even in the past, I mean, the past 3 months have been difficult, but just the past week, has anybody else felt a little shaken? Anybody else feel like you're not even sure how to respond? It feels to me like there's a lot of uncertainty, even about what to say and what to do, because you don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to do the wrong thing. It's always right to stand fast and be unmovable. It's always right to super abound in the work of the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, there's some basic truths that Jesus taught us that if we could just hold on to those, we're going to be grounded and settled in our faith. We see the calling of Samuel. Notice next the cleansing of the people. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. It came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. After Eli died, one of the first things that Samuel did was called the people to cleanse themselves from idolatry. And he puts before them a conditional covenant. If you return to the Lord with all your heart, if you put away all the strange gods, if you prepare your hearts to the Lord to serve him only, then God will deliver you from the Philistines. Over and over, Israel sinned against God. They rebelled against God. They served idols, and God allowed them to come into, they became servants of other nations. When they got sick and tired of that, they cried out to God. They asked for forgiveness. They asked him to help, and God would send a deliverer. They would repent. He would give them victory, and they would be established for a while. And we see that cycle, that pattern, over and over and over through Judges, right? Judges 13:1, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. But God had a conditional covenant. God had a prescription for deliverance. Return to the Lord with all your heart. Put away the idols and prepare your heart to serve God only. That's a pretty good plan for us today. Pretty good plan for us to return to the Lord with all our hearts. You know, God's far more interested in your heart than he is in lip service. Amen. So many times I'm afraid that the good Baptists that we are, we feel like if as long as I'm in my pew when the doors are open, as long as I show up and I'm in my place every time the doors are open, then I've done what God wants me to do. But I got news for you. If you are in your pew but your heart is far from God, he's not impressed. He's not impressed. He's not looking for lip service. He's not looking for a show. He's not looking for you to try to look good to other people. God sees our hearts. He knows our hearts. And when our hearts are far from him, he's offended by that. Because here's the thing, I think sometimes when we just put on a show, when our hearts aren't really in it, we think that we've got everybody fooled, but we forget we can't fool God. Amen. And so we offend him by being pharisaical. So we've got to get our hearts, and then we've got to get rid of our strange gods. You say, well, I don't have any gods. I don't serve idols. But when we love, fear, honor, or serve anything more than God, that's an idol. And so we have idols. We have entertainment idols, and we have hobby idols, and we have money idols, and possession idols, and relationship idols. We have all kinds of idols. We've got to get rid of those idols, and we've got to prepare our hearts to serve God alone. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Look at 1 Samuel 7, verse 8. We see the people cry out for help. The children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Now, I just want to say that some people don't love the King James Version of the Bible anymore, but it's just for passages like this that I love it. I mean, so many reasons, but I just love this. The Lord thundered with a great thunder. Isn't that good? I love words like this, and discomfited them. I'm going to try to use that in a sentence in normal speech one day this week. I don't know. I probably can't do that. But, I mean, we just don't talk like that, but I love it. Listen, the Philistines were far greater in power than Israel was. The Philistines, if you just look at it on paper, the Israelite army and the Philistine army, there's no way Israel stands a chance. Do you know how many times in history Israel didn't stand a chance, but they won? Why? Because God's on their side. You could say, well, we've got tanks and we've got planes and we've got this and we've got that. Well, God's got thunder. You know what comes with thunder? That's right, lightning. Now, I don't know how much of this plays in, but I want you to think about this with me for just a second. Now, the Philistines, historians tell us, the Philistines were the only people in Palestine at the time of Samuel that worked with iron. And we see it in the Bible that they had chariots of iron, right? Now, you think about that. When your chariots and your swords and your spearheads are not made of iron, when yours are made of, your chariots are made of wood and your other stuff's made of a lesser metal, that's not good for you when you go to war, right? But when your army's outfitted with iron and your God uses lightning, I'm just saying, pretty good deal, isn't it? God thundered and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Samuel prayed for the people, but I want you to get this. Before Samuel prayed for the people, they had to put away their sins. When they were willing to confess their sins, when they were willing to turn away from their sins, when they were ready to get rid of their idols and turn to God, God was there for them. Amen. Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When we hold on to our sin, you know, I grew up my whole life, pastors talking about pet sin. And I think we all understand what that is. When you got a little sin, you know, for you it's just little, right? A little sin that we just hold on to, we don't want to let go of. Listen, God is not going to bless you. God is not going to fight your battles for you. God is not going to help you have victory in your day-to-day life if you hold on to that sin. We've got to let go of it. And then see God do what only God can do. Samuel took a stone, 1 Samuel 7:12. And set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Remember it in the song? Here I raise mine Ebenezer. What is that? It's a memorial. It means the stone of help. It's a reminder that God delivered them. We do well to remember what God's done for us. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Samuel had a heart for God, and he had a heart for God's people. He had great concern for the people of Israel. Next thing you know, Israel demands a king because they want to be like all the other nations that God just whooped. Tell me how that makes sense? I don't know. It kind of reminds me of the United States of America today. God has blessed this nation in the last 200 years unlike any nation before us. God has given us unparalleled freedoms and unparalleled prosperity. And we have a group of people in our nation today who want nothing else but to be like all the other nations. I don't understand it. I can't wrap my... It reminds me so much of Israel. Like on the other side of the fence is a desert and they still think the grass is greener. I don't understand it. The people demanded a king. 1 Samuel 8:19 says, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.'" You know, sometimes you better be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. God warned the people that they did not need a king. God was to be the king of Israel. God warned the people what would happen if they got a king. But they demanded a king. And you know what God did? Even though it wasn't his will, he gave it to them anyway. Better pay attention. So you know what the United States of America is going to get? We better be careful, because God very well may give us what we deserve. We better be careful as a church what we desire. If our desires as a church, if our ideas as a church, if our heart as a church is for things contrary to the Word of God, listen, just because it happens doesn't mean it was God's will. Listen, I know God's sovereign over everything, but he's given us free will. He's given us, we have a permissive will. God will allow us to do things that are contrary to his will. How can you say that? God's sovereign over everything. Yes, he is, but hello, there's sin in the world today. People reject God every day. That's not his will. People die every day. That's not God's will. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And yet it happens. Why? Because God has given mankind a free will. And sometimes he'll let us do exactly what we don't need to do. They refused the hand of God. Saul became king. Saul, we know his sin, how he sinned against God. He got impatient. He wouldn't wait for Samuel to get back. So he put himself in the place of the priest. He offered up a sacrifice. He wouldn't trust in what God said. I know God said this, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. So many times we know what God says, but we're not willing to wait on God. Let me wrap this up with this. Philip Brooks was a famous pastor in the last century. He was in his office one day and he's pacing back and forth, frustrated. Somebody walked in and said, "What's the matter, Pastor?" He said, "I'm in a hurry and God isn't." You ever feel like that? "I don't want to wait on God. We're in a hurry." But we have to learn to wait on the Lord. We have to learn to wait on the Lord. We have to learn to trust in him. We have to learn to obey him. You know, a lot of people in the world today want to find their own way of salvation, but there is no other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the creator of all things. He's the one who became a man and lived a sinless, perfect life. He's the one who gave that life on the cross to redeem mankind from their sins. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The end thereof are the ways of death. We need to be like Samuel. We need to stand up when no one else will stand. We need to stay faithful when nobody else stays faithful. We need to shine the light of the gospel, whether we're the only ones shining the light or not. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation tonight. wonder if you'd stand with me. In 1876, France gifted the United States with the Statue of Liberty. Have you ever seen it? Ever seen at least a picture of it? A lot of people don't know it, but from November the 22nd, 1886, until March 1st, 1902, the Statue of Liberty was actually an operational lighthouse. The torch was lit up as a lighthouse, and Lady Liberty's torch shone a light standing at 305 feet above sea level. The light from the Statue of Liberty could be seen for over 24 miles out to sea. What a picture of how we need to be a light in this world. Samuel was an example of a holy light in Israel. That light exposed the wickedness, and that light shone the way to be right with God. And that's exactly what our lives should do. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart about a decision you need to make tonight, if you've never put your faith in Christ, you've never been born again, I plead with you to trust in Him tonight. If there's anything that's not right in your life, if we're not pure like Samuel was, if we're not holding on to every word that God gives us and not letting any of it fall to the ground, if He's convicting you about anything tonight, I pray you'll get it right with Him tonight while we sing.
Number 514.